Out of the dark of the deep range and into the light of the deep strange. Come at the hour. Come at the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening to you. John B. Wells back in the left seat for the first Saturday night soiree of the new year, 2014. Good grief, is that even possible? And here I was missing the 80s. I hope you had an excellent holiday season. As some parts of the country move into Sunday right now. All right. Almost 7 minutes ago. It is the 12th day of Christmas. Before we get into all that, let me tell you who's on the program tonight. First, it's you and me for the first hour. We'll do a little open line thing. Get your take on the end of the last year and the beginning of the new one. Or whatever's on your mind. And then, Dr. Jonathan Fellis and Dr. Philip A. DeFina in the controversial case of 13-year-old Jahi McMath. You know about her? Yeah, you do. The 13-year-old Oakland girl, victim of a tonsillectomy gone wrong, scheduled to have her life support pulled on the 7th, Tuesday. Why do we want to jump ahead and pull the plug on this 13-year-old girl who may have a chance to recover? Asks International Brain Research Foundation CEO Dr. Phil DeFina. Both those gentlemen will be on the program. I have a friend, close friend, who went into a coma, came back out, busted his skull in 13 pieces. Docs put him back together. He stayed in a coma for quite a while. Now, there may be a few issues here and there, but his personality remains the same as it always was when I met him, the better part of 20 years ago. As we look at her story, and you know, when you see a child lying there, that smile on her face, and you have no idea what she's thinking, what she's dreaming, and the machine says she's not thinking about anything. But you still see that countenance. It just really, if you have a heart at all, it's gotta get to you a little bit. And attorney for the family says that she still responds when her parents speak to her. So we shall see what the good doctors have to say. This is kind of a special day for me. On the 5th, I will celebrate 36 years of being in this business. 36 years. Yes, I started when I was 5. Just kidding. And I'm looking at the 1-5-2014. All of that adds up to 13, which is a 4, so that's a security thing, right? We shall see. Might not mean job security, but it's security. And then, of course, 36 years in the business. That's 3 + 6 = 9. That's a special number, numerologically speaking. I don't order from the menu by number, but only in certain restaurants where they don't understand my interpretation of their language. In which case, I usually point. But anyway, it's good to be with you. I had no idea. 36 years ago, that having given a friend of mine a tape of a little commercial I made for my dear departed mom would result in this tape, yes, tape, cassette tape, went to a fellow known as Capitol Hill correspondent Jim Mikliszewski at what was, in fact, a mom and pop radio station in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm telling you, mom and pop were there, and the son too. And Mikliszewski was a visionary. He was just a wee little bit ahead of his time. But it was all news all day. And people just weren't ready for it. So it went over to a live and beautiful music. It was called Radio 15. And there was a professional announcer Somebody said his name was Hal Burton or Hal Burton. Maybe that was his last name. I don't know if his first name is his last name or if it's just his one name. Not Halliburton. That's something else. As you know, Hal Burton. And he would say, Radio 15. And he would just roll that off and was like, wow, I wish I could do that one day. And I did. I just did it a second ago, but I had no idea that I would ever say it to as many of you as I'm saying it to now. But I won't say it again. All right, as we get ready for the good doctors and so forth, you asked me and I told you. All weather is caused by unequal heating of the Earth's surface. Solar activity is at a 100-year low. Now, when we had Dr. Jim Garrow on, he said only one of the poles flipped, does it every 11 years. Now, it pops up on the scope a couple of days ago. Well, the poles flipped, or did they? Now there seems to be some confusion as to whether or not the poles actually flipped. Remember that story, the nuclear weapon transfer from weapons transfer from Dyess Air Force Base combined with Grid X, which everybody was in a twist over Grid X. We were watching it, and then I guess they had it because, and the grid did not go down in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. What was that all about? And the solar pole flips were all supposed to happen right around the same time together. And there was a theory being floated, one worth looking at, that, say, if we had a big EMP, big electromagnetic pulse, by this weapon, you know, United States is a big place. One kiloton weapon, hardly anybody would notice, depending on where it was let off. But it could have taken the grid down. Maybe. I don't know. Haven't let one off that size in my neighborhood or yours yet. But none of that happened. But what did happen is historic freeze, wind chill 70 below zero, record cold, closes schools in the Midwest, Minnesota, worst deep freeze in 20 years, frostbite in minutes, 2010 set to become snowiest decade on record for the East Coast. Man burns down house trying to thaw pipes with blow dryer. Don't do that. Coast Guard to assist rescue ships stuck in Antarctic ice. But then, thousands of trees will have to be planted to offset carbon footprint. I can't say it. I'm thinking it, and you know what I'm thinking, but I can't say it because it's just ridiculous. It's global warming, man. It's global warming. Really? I don't think so. Been talking about it since the early 70s, the late 60s, that we are entering a mini ice age. Well, behold the temperatures and tell me about global warming. Right? The feds have listed 141 new regulations in 3 days. Yes, they're at it again. And don't get tired, folks, because 2014 is going to be a very, very interesting year. It really is. Maybe it's the good interesting, maybe it's the bad interesting, but in any case, it will be interesting. Let's talk about a couple of these little things here. Here's a silly one. Remember all that rending of garments, gnashing of teeth, and tearing of hair over the light bulbs? Yes, from of all things, CNBC by M. Alex Johnson. If you want to shed some light on 2014, you'll have to do it with one of those ghostly halogen or fluorescent bulbs. Thanks to a new federal law banning production of the familiar incandescent light bulbs, just one of hundreds of new rules, and regulations taking effect across the U.S. with the new year. Many of the new laws have fundamental and far-reaching effects, like the quiet elimination of the incandescent light bulb, familiar to Americans for more than a century. U.S. companies stopped making 100-watt and 75-watt incandescent bulbs a year ago, but New Year's Day, the switch got flipped on the second phase of the controversial federal legislation, banning production of 60 and 40-watt bulbs. The government wants you to use more energy-efficient alternatives, like halogen or compact fluorescent bulbs. I have an idea. Fire 90% of them the next time an election comes up. Just fire them. I don't think we'll do any worse if we put, maybe you in there. Why not? Well, seriously. Are you going to tell me that you couldn't do as good a job as they? I have no idea who might be on the line. I have no idea if anyone is on the line, but I'm going to look in the magic mirror and see what we can see. Because I would like to talk to you. If you don't know the numbers, we'll play them for you in a little bit. And if you do know the numbers, well, start ringing them and we'll chat. But first, a quick commercial break. Welcome, welcome to the first Saturday night soiree of 2014. The future is here, and so is Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. Well, Max Slavo posted an article at InfoWars. Government SWAT teams target rugged individuals who grow their own food and produce their own electricity. Now, remember, you may remember, back in the former Soviet Union, a couple of activists were convicted and sent to some gulag iceberg somewhere after having been convicted of malicious hooliganism. Now, there's a legal term for you. Slavo writes, the dream of many Americans to get out of the hustle and bustle of the daily city grind, and what better dream than to move your family outside of city limits to the countryside? You can grow your own food, produce your own electricity with solar power, live outside the purview of an ever-expanding government apparatus, yes? That was the goal for hundreds of residents living on the outskirts of L.A., Los Angeles. Many own their land outright. They've been living on it for decades without so much as a peep from their local government. They've built their homes using whatever means they've had available to them. They planted their own fruit and vegetables. They even set up their own personal power production stations using solar panels and miniature wind farms. And they've lived peacefully without violating the rights of those around them and leaving a very small carbon footprint to boot. For all intents and purposes, they achieved a life of independence and freedom, but the tentacles of tyranny are everywhere. That's a fact. And no one is protected from their grasp. Recently, agents of the Los Angeles County government started paying visits to these rugged individualists, claiming they were here to help, as one resident put it. But as is generally the case when the government comes knocking, they were there for exactly the opposite. What was once a dream come true for many quickly turned into the new American nightmare. Code enforcement agents for the county showed up in droves, and they didn't come alone. Along with them came heavily armed, are you ready for this? Nuisance abatement teams who raided the homes and land of these peaceful residents as they would those of a terrorist. The collection of rugged individualists who want to live here are being chased away. Last year, the county began performing unannounced inspections of property. This fellow named Gallo says he cooperated with the county, clearing brush, then removing his shed, then getting rid of his motorhome. Finally, the county made a demand that shocked him. They told me, you have to get off the property. He said, get off the property. They said, yeah, you can't live here. He says the county officials told him that neighbors, whom they would not identify, had complained about unsightly structures on his property. He could keep his land, they told him, but he would not be allowed to live on it. I'm surprised he wasn't charged with malicious hooliganism. Carol, first-time caller in Modesto, California. Come on, talk to us. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too, John. Can you hear me okay?
I certainly can.
I listen to Coast every single night, and I love all you guys. You are the only ones that are telling it like it is. Two questions. You touched on the power grid thing. First of all, the first question is, did you hear about what happened to the PG&E substation in San Jose last April?
It's a distant memory now, but refresh us.
I guess the San Jose Mercury News was one of the few that publicized it. There was some kind of the overnight attack by one or two people with guns.
Yes.
Went through a manhole and came up on the other side of PG&E, and you could see there was a camera, a video camera caught them. You could only see the flashes from the guns, but it did bring down some of the power supply to San Jose.
Yep. I remember a little something about this. And so.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Supposedly, the FBI is, quote-unquote, investigating. That was last April. And the second question is, what happened? I know we were all on pins and needles waiting for the power grid exercises, November 13th and 14th, and I wondered if you could tell me what happened then. And I'll take my answer on the air, and again, Happy New Year to all of you.
Well, Happy New Year to you too again. Well, the fact of the matter is, I don't know what happened to it. It was supposed to simulate what would happen if a domestic or foreign agent of some sort was to somehow immobilize our electrical supply. But as far as what happened, I didn't hear a word about it. I didn't see anything. I didn't even see anything in alternative media. Not at all. It was supposed to happen on November 13 and 14. NERC and industry crisis response plans and identify actionable improvement recommendations for plans, security programs, and skills. But I didn't hear another thing about it. And I wish I could tell you more, but I can't because I don't have anything to tell you. I will look into it and see if somebody within the electrical grid apparatus will come forward and say, oh, yeah, it was no big deal. We all sat around, drank coffee, ate a few donuts. Looked at some pie charts and stuff, and that was it. I don't know. I know everybody was very, very concerned about it. Some people were just plain jacked up about it, but I didn't hear another thing. Maybe Nico did in Chicago, east of the Rockies. How you doing up there? It's kind of cold up there in Chicago.
Oh, it's very cold, Mr. Wells. Permission to come aboard the bridge, sir.
Welcome. Permission granted.
Well, couple things here. First, you are by far, next to Art Bell, my favorite coast-to-coast AM host ever. I mean, your voice is amazing, sir, and the stuff that you raise and that you, you know, when you're asking guests questions and stuff is just unbelievable. But anyways,
well, thanks, bro.
I don't take up a lot of time here. The Fukushima Daiichi, or Fukushima Daiichi plan, now, you know, I don't watch too much TV, but I was over at my parents' house the other day, and just, you know, 2 minutes watching TV, and they're showing, you know, the most unbelievable stuff on CNN, headline news, when, you know, these idiotic stories, when they should be reporting about the plant that's melting down. I mean, it's unreal, and, you know, second of all, I thank you so much for, you know, keeping that open, you know, forum for people to coast to coast, and Alex Jones pretty much, you know, ground zero. It's probably the only places you hear people talking about the Fukushima plant. And real fast, I just wanted to get also wanted to get your take on Mr. Art Bell, talking of him. Actually, I just didn't know if you met him or if you know him or if you like him for that matter. I mean, that's about it. Thank you, sir, and I appreciate it. And let someone else get on.
Well, thanks, Nico. I appreciate you. I have never met Mr. Bell. I started listening to him in the mid-90s. And, of course, back in those days, it was like, wow, wouldn't it be cool to be on a show like this? This is so cool. And you know, walk around the block with a little kid's got... All right, my son. I like to leave that kind of out of it. It's like one of my 10 children would have one earphone in his ear, and I'd have the other one. We'd kind of put our heads together and kind of walk down the street. He was quite a bit shorter than I was in those days. And, oh, it was so easy to get hooked on that program, and it was excellent. But no, I've never met Mr. Bell, and all I can say is that I wish him well, because he set the standard. And the thing about it was the standard for what? It's like the standard for alternative radio. And, you know, Captain Norrie and George Knapp and several other people over the years, Ian Punnett, he used to sit right here in this chair every Saturday night for, I don't know, 10 or 11 years. I think they did okay by Mr. Bell. Things change. You know, everybody longs for the past. And most people really don't want change. They think they do, but they really don't. They want things to kind of stay the same. But alas, they don't. They move on, and with any luck at all, and maybe the blessing of the Great One would probably be the thing to lean on rather than luck. Obi-Wan Kenobi says there's no such thing as a coincidence in his experience. I'm thinking there's no such thing as luck. But I be John Kenobi, and Obi-Wan may be smarter. But then again, he's a fictitious character. Forget I said anything. Anyway, best wishes to Mr. Bell. And maybe one day I'll run into him wherever he is, the Philippines or Nevada. He's out there somewhere. Art Bell, he's somewhere out there. And we'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Got some wild music for you tonight. Stand by. You're not going to like this, Ed. Get over it. I'm not all that uptight on Saturday night. A lot of people out there are. And with good cause. But look, here's the thing. No matter what comes, no matter what, we're going to be fine. It will be tough in spots, no doubt about it. All kinds of stuff from coming all different directions. Atmospheric, financial, government. A little bit of social unrest here or there, but you know what? We're going to be all right because of who we are. So, as my dear departed mom would tell all of us in the family whenever we are close to messing something up, remember who you are. Now, do this if you have an iPhone, which the NSA just absolutely loves because it never fails to deliver when it's hacked. And there seems to be mounting evidence to the effect that Apple designed all that stuff into it. I told you I had a dinner with a man and his girlfriend a couple of years ago who just kind of went and just spilled it out that he was working on the back door for the NSA, and I haven't seen him again. I think he felt a little uncomfortable about telling me that. But I want you to, if you've got an Android or an iPhone, go to your App Store. It's a free download. I want you to get this thing. Do it. Seriously. It's free. It's called Safecast. 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 And when you look at this thing, what you'll see is the entire island of Japan is blue. And right there where Fukushima is located, it's pink and yellow. It's very, very hot. So here you go. You want your Fukushima update? Fukushima update? Okay, here comes. CEO, Fukushima is very bad. We have a crew in Japan right now. Reports coming out. Government covered it up. Food around the whole region got irradiated. Increased problems for people in Tokyo. Host really scares me. I don't hear anyone discussing how to stop it. Here's another one. Now, I saw this. There's a YouTube video. A guy went down to Surfer Beach. I want to say it was by San Francisco. I'm not looking at it at this moment, but Surfer Beach. He's got his Geiger counter. As he's walking along, it starts going, it's in the 30s. Now he's getting closer to the beach, and then in the 40s, the 50s. Then it goes beep two or three times. And this thing went up over 150. Okay. Official detects radiation spike on California beach now at 500% normal levels. Befuddled as to why it's so high. Claims there is no immediate health concern. Public's interest in Fukushima nuclear waste rising. Here's another one. Expert source informed me that areas by U.S. nuclear plants are becoming seismically active. Studies underway right now. NRC official use only. Quakes can actually happen almost anywhere. Yeah. Nuclear engineer, radioactive plumes always coming out of Fukushima Unit 3. Water is not getting to hot spots. It's probably because of melted core. Fission may be taking place underneath the reactor. Another article, senior scientist, Fukushima cores melted through the containment vessels. I'm very concerned about sea life on the west coast, that's our west coast, accumulating radioactive material. Some contamination will arrive in concentrated pockets. Here's another one. Top Russian nuclear official. Fukushima catastrophe matched our worst-case scenario. U.S. government email. Radiation release thought to be 500 times higher than we calculated. And you know, there are a number of sailors who were aboard the USS Ronald Reagan. And they're ill. Big time ill. All right, one more. BBC interview. News about Fukushima keeps getting worse. Japanese professor, rash of disease in Fukushima children, rate of cancer and thyroid up to dozens of times higher than usual. Expert, forcible radiation exposure by a government. Do you know that they're actually recruiting people 50 years and older to come work at the plant? Arne Gunderson has been on the program several times. Very visible steam at Fukushima Unit 3. It's from constant radioactive releases coming from hot rubble not related to new explosion. So it's not getting better. And it's not going to get better. So be alert. Take steps to keep your awareness high. Panic, getting upset, getting despondent, getting depressed, any of that. Forget all of that. That's not helpful. Be alert, be educated, be informed, and be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. One more. Former MSNBC host told not to warn people about Fukushima meltdowns. Quote, the official government position is that it's safe. Now go and explain that to people who served on the USS Ronald Reagan. That's right. So there you go. Oh, no. No, no. This is our official position, that it's not that bad to be near the nuclear meltdown. Yeah. All right. Sorry about that. But look, if we don't tell you, who will? Answer, nobody. Or so it would appear. Let's talk to Peter in the Northeast on Astro Line number 4. Hello,
come
Peter.
Come at the hour, come with the man, John B.
Hey.
Finally got a screener on who knows something about Jimi Hendrix and other infamous acts that occurred on December 7th.
Well, all right. So what's going on in your neck of the world?
Well, for some of your listeners, today is still January 4th. Three years ago on January 4th, an old friend of mine was killed in Boston, Prince Ali Reza of Iran. Now, for those of you who may not know about what happened to him, his death was officially ruled as a suicide. However, no one is able to kill themselves with a 22-gauge double-barrel shotgun. And as usual, the police did such a bad job with the investigation, I was the one who did the memorial service and organized it 4 days later. I was the one that persuaded them and the feds to reopen the investigation, and they concluded it was murder.
So now what?
Well, right now we're still trying to find out who did it.
And that happened 3 years ago on the 4th.
On January 4th, 2011, on 141 West Newton Street in Boston. Right down the street from the old Lucy Parsons Center.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And, you know, there's no statute of limitations on murders. And Boston police are pretty good. So maybe they'll get to the bottom of it.
What was really sad was I was engaged to his sister, Princess Layla, back in 2011. And she was murdered during the royal birthday celebrations in London. Now they tried to write it off as a suicide too, but she was basically, what happened to her was her own doctor drugged, megadosed her on drugs and strangled her with a phone cord.
Well, no, wait. Why? I mean, what's the motive? Can you speculate on a motive?
Well, have no speculation. But the interesting thing was, she had told her mother she did not want to even speak with her, and her mother was the one that sent the doctor to go meet with her.
Oh, boy. That
and interestingly
sound good.
Enough was that my grandmother, my father, was a widow of my paternal grandfather, who was an Iranian royal. She was the one that helped the Iranian royal family get settled in to Connecticut right after Khomeini kicked them out back in 79. And interestingly enough, I just learned this Thursday morning, that same grandmother of mine shares the birth date with George Norrie's old commanding officer in the Navy.
How do you know these things? You must have a crystal ball that's not in the shop, unlike myself.
Well, here's the weird thing. I just learned this. George Norrie's old commanding officer during Desert Storm, Larry Gemma, he died mysteriously back in this past October. I was only informed about what happened November, and the police had to do a hell of a job just to get me under control, as he was one of my best friends.
Oh, boy.
Basically, what happened was the press initially reported it as a mysterious heart attack.
Right.
But what happened? But when I talked to his staff and his family the day after Thanksgiving, basically what happened was he came down with some weird form of cancer. Just so suddenly, they didn't know what it was. And then he just died so suddenly. And the weird thing was, 3 days before he died, I had some weird being follow me out in the woods, out just outside of Mystic, Connecticut, for 5 miles.
Wow. All right, Peter, I got a blow. But thanks. Stay in touch and give us an update if anybody up there gets closer to the truth. That's an intriguing story, but I got a feeling it'd make a three-hour show. It may come to that if it's deep enough. But in any case, I'm sorry about the loss of your friend. All right, let's talk to Sharon real quick in Missouri. How you doing? Sharon, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, John B. I called you last year around August or September, and I expressed the opinion that I thought that the country was slowly starting to wake up and was fixing to start pushing back. And I am seeing signs of that all over. It's not being reported, but I am seeing signs of it. The young people are turning away from Facebook in droves. They are angry. They are disillusioned. They are mad. And one of the most popular movies this year was The Hunger Games. I wonder why. Young people are flocking to movies like that because they know that could be something like what their future may be. They are not stupid.
No.
And
no.
Here in Missouri, we have a saying, you can't fix stupid, but you can numb it with a 2x4. And I think it's time that this country got together a political party, call it the 2x4 party, and start taking this country back. It belongs to us. It does not belong to the government. This country is not the government. It is the American people. And it is time for us to get our 2x4s out and start taking it back.
Well, you're going to have your chance here in a few months, so find some candidates that you like. I'm a 100% believer in term limits for Congress.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that everything that we are required to do, they should be required to do. For example, I don't think they should be exempted or protected from anything, beginning with their insurance. And I'd also like to know how it is that none of them ever leave office with less money than when they went in. I mean,
well,
I've heard all kinds of things.
And I can't remember his name, but he said anybody that comes to Washington and leaves poorer than what they were when they came here is too damn stupid in the first place to be here.
Okay. Thanks, Sharon. You rock. All righty. Mike. Wild 2, Livermore, California. What's going on?
Good evening, John.
Good evening.
How was your Christmas and New Year's? Good, I hope.
Well, it was merry. It was restful and it was peaceful. And I got to tell you, I appreciate not getting too much flack for not being in the chair on the 28th. But it was really too late to be Christmassy and too early for New Year's. So it's like I kind of missed out on both points, because both those days landed on Wednesdays. So it's like, what? So I just thought, okay, back away from those. Just remain calm and back away from the mic. Reset and reapproach. So here we are. How was yours?
Well, I'm glad you're back tonight, and I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you. But the previous caller, was that Han Solo? He said he was engaged to Princess Leia?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sorry. And the last caller, this was what I called, well, actually, didn't know what I was calling about. There was a talk show host I used to listen to 25 years ago named Jim Eason. And he was like you. He was middle of the road. He was, you know, it's about what's right and what's wrong, not about left and right party lines, everything else. And he had a thing that he was always pushing the campaign called PRIP. Don't re-elect incumbent politicians. And I think we need to start that up again. And
well, as far I don't as see any. There's going to be no change unless we do. That's for sure. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
We've got the mainstream media just lies to us, and then you've got the pundits that all they're about is fighting. They want to fight the left. They want to fight the right. And I keep telling people that I have a conversation with something, and if I say something bad about Obama, then they just out of their mouth. Push, 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 push.
Brother, we're losing you.
The other side. Start looking at your side.
Well, yeah, and you know, a good place to start would be mind your own business. Just if you will do what is really best for you, you'll be doing what's best for everybody else. But if you start trying to impose your views on others, now that's something else. As was stated by some famous person, I don't remember who it was, every man's entitled to say what's on his mind, and every other man has the right to knock him down for it. But generally, a lot of people vote based on how they think they should, rather than what they really feel they should do. And
I'm sorry.
No, you go.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I mean, it's, I'm never going to change somebody's mind. All I try to get people to do is stop. You're playing into the game. They want you to fight the other side. So instead of fighting the other side, start scrutinizing the side you think you're on. So if your guy is so great, start looking at his faults. I think the party we need to start is no party.
You got a point there.
You shouldn't vote for Democrat or Republican. I think Jesse Ventura said it rightly when he was interviewed by George, that and he was quoting Jerry Garcia, voting for the lesser of two evils is still voting for evil.
Yep, you got a point.
One last thing, John, and I know because you're a pilot, and I got to bring this up with you. While I was on hold, I'm out in the park with my dogs. And a light I'm seeing through the branches of the trees comes over, coming from the north, going northeast, going southwest. And it looked like a meteor, you know, one of those orange glowing meteors, but it was going too slow. And I'd say it was probably going about the speed of maybe a low-flying Cessna or something like that. And I'm just going, that is odd. And there was no blinking light, no green light, no red light. And as it passed over to the east of me a little bit, and then was continuing south, eventually it just kind of disappeared. And I'm just thinking, well, they just have a light on the front, and now it's being blocked and I can't see it. Well, I turned back and looked, and here's another one coming. Six of them came over. I have no idea what they are. Three of them went directly over my head. I couldn't hear a sound. I'm thinking, well, maybe they're these Japanese tiki lights, whatever those things are, like, you know, those lanterns.
They tend right.
To the car. But it was going faster. The wind is not blowing. It was going faster than a low-flying Cessna, but faster than a high-flying jet, you know, but not fast enough to be a meteor.
It yeah, I got you. Well, there's no telling what's out there. Thanks for the call, brother, and have a happy 2014. We could use a happy new year, don't you think? We'll be happy later. You know, it seems like the situation with human beings can best be illustrated by two teenage boys that are standing next to each other, and they're bored. And one of them turns to the other and just shoves him. It's sort of a, let's start something. Maybe all this conflict is really what keeps us going, you think? Otherwise, we'd all be happy just sitting around looking at each other like, I'm bored. I'm happy, but I'm really, really bored. Why don't we start something? Okay, first-time caller. Let's talk to Dan in Wisconsin. Come on, Dan. You got a minute.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's all right. How you doing?
Two things. You were talking about global warming earlier. I was wondering if you're familiar with climate oscillation.
Climate oscillation?
Yeah.
That sounds like we get to trade climates with other parts of the world?
Partially, yes. It's basically like weather patterns that can recur anywhere between annually and like within thousands of years of each other.
Oh, sure. It's all cyclical, my brother.
A lot of them, the effects that are caused by it mimic things like global warming and global cooling and all these things that they try to scare people with these days.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely right. But I think in the end, it's just this wringing of hands over climate change. I think that's what we have when the seasons change. I think it's just another big bank job. But then again, as Lily Tallman once said, no matter how cynical you are, you can never catch up. All right, we'll be back with our guest for tonight. And we're going to talk about Jahi McMath, Dr. Jonathan Fellis, and Dr. Philip DeFina on Coast to Coast AM. You got time to make a proper cup of tea, maybe even a couple of biscuits, and settle in for the Saturday night run on Coast to Coast AM.